to give the layout of what we've done so far. Machlokas, Rabba and Rava, Lishma between the Kaimo. The Gemara gives two reasons, gives nafkaminas between Rabba and Rava at the beginning and Daf Beis Amud Beis. Gimel Amud Aleph, what we've been discussing for the past few days, why Rava doesn't accept Rabba's opinion, why Rabba doesn't accept Rava's opinion. Then on the very bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph, going until the top of Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara tries to figure out who in the world is the Tana that holds that you need Ksiva and Chasima Lishma, meaning it doesn't seem to fit with any known Tanaim. Our Mishnah that Bifanei Nechtav and Bifanei Nechtam, that you need to verify that both of those things were done Lishma, does not seem to conform to any Tana. So the Gemara takes four tries at figuring out who the Tana is that says that you need Ksiva and Chasima Lishma. I'm just summarizing the Gemara that you already saw. The first try is that maybe it's Rabbi Lazar. And the most important machlokas in all of Gittin between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Meir, the one that comes up over and over and over again, is the machlokas whether Eide Chasima Karti or Eide Mesira Karti. So Rabbi Lazar holds that Eide Mesira Karti, that it's the Eidim who witnessed the get being given, that are the critical Eidim, and that Eide Chasima aren't even necessary. You don't even need Eidim signed on the shtar on the get. In order for the get to happen, you need only Eide Mesira. So the Gemara's first attempt is that maybe our mission is going like Rabbi Eliezer. Why then do we need to verify that the Chasima has done Lishma? The Gemara says maybe that Rabbi Eliezer would hold that that's a din derabbanan, that you need Chasima Lishma. The Gemara rejects that possibility though. The Gemara then jumps to the other side. Maybe we're assuming like Rabbi Meir, that Eide Chasima Karti, that the critical Eidim are the guys who sign on the shtar. Rabbi Meir doesn't require Eidim Mesira. Why would the Eidim Mesira have to? Why would the Ksiva therefore have to be Lishma? If Eidim Chasima is all we're interested in, so V'kasavla in the Torah, the words V'kasavla refer to the Chasima, so why would you care about whether the Ksiva was done Lishma? So he said, maybe that's only a Din D'Rabbanan, that you need Ksiva Lishma, Midrabbanan. The Gemara rejects that possibility as well. The Gemara then sticks with two other possibilities that it accepts in the end of the day. The third possibility that the Gemara accepts as being a legitimate possibility is three lines from the top of Gimel Amud Aleph, of Dalet Amud Aleph. So again, the Gemara rejected the first two possibilities of who's the one that holds you need both Ksiva and Chasima Lishma. Possibility number one, it's Rabbi Lazar, and he holds that you need Chasima Lishma Midrabanan. We reject that. That it's maybe Rabbi Meir, and he holds that you need Ksiva Lishma Midrabanan. We reject that. So possibility number three. Three lines from the top and Dalet Amud Aleph. Let's take a look because there are some important ha'aras to be made over here. Elu li'olam Rabbi Lazar hi. That really maybe we're assuming like Rabbi Lazar. But we tried that. That was possibility number one, and we rejected that. No, so we make an alteration of Rabbi Lazar's shita as follows. V'chilobay Rabbi Lazar chasima hecha deleke edim klal. When does Rabbi Lazar say that you don't need chasima lishma? That's when you don't have any edim signed in it at all. Meaning, as far as Rabbi Lazar is concerned, write a get, give it in front of two people, done. You don't need anything else. You don't need anyone to sign on it. And he'll be very happy. Everyone will go home happy. There's no din derabbanan that you need chasima, none of that. It's all good. But if you're going to choose to have Eidim sign on the shtar, then you better make sure they're good Eidim. You don't have to have Eidim sign on the shtar. You don't have it, that's fine. But hecha di'ika, hecha lak Eidim klal, but hecha di'ika Eidim, ba'i. When there are going to be Eidim, then you need the Eidim to be signed with a chasima lishma. Dam Rabbi Abba, moda Rabbi Lazar mezuyaf mitocho. The Rabbi Lazar is moda that if a shtar is mezuyaf mitocho, that it's going to be pasul. And when you have Eidim that are signed on shelo lishma, that's called mezuyaf mitocho. It's considered to be inherently a forged or unkosher document. And Rabbi Lazar is moda that even though you don't need the chasimos, but bad chasimos is much worse than no chasimos at all. Zakt Rashi b'mezuyaf mitocho shechasam alav karov opasul o shelo lishma. Now, whenever we have the term mezuyaf mitocho in the rest of Shas and the rest of this Masechta, mezuyaf mitocho always refers to the first two examples Rashi gives, that you have someone signed on the shtar who's a karov or a pasul. The chiddush of this Gemara is that it's also called mezuyaf mitocho when you have kosher witnesses signed on, but they're signed shelo lishma. That's also called mezuyaf mitocho. Now, what's the problem with mezuyaf mitocho? If you hold that chasima is not really so important anyway, what's the big deal if it's mezuyaf mitocho? Why do we care that there are Edim that are not kosher Edim that are signed on? The Edim could be air, they could not exist, they could not be there, and that would be fine. Let's say instead of signatures of Edim, you have blotches of ink on the bottom of the shtar. That would be fine, we'd have no problem with that, because you don't need chasima according to Rabbi Lazar. So what's the problem of Mezuyif Mitocha? Why is that an issue of Mezuyif Mitocha?
Is
the shtar false? The woman did get divorced,
no,
right?
There's something on it that's like not true. Like
what's not true?
Not true is not the right word. I'm saying there's something on it.
I feel you, but you know you gotta express it, right? What exactly is the issue?
That when there's no one signing on it, then it's you know the din by get is that you don't need it. Okay, fine, you don't need it, so that's fine. But once you're now gonna put signatures on it, then it becomes that it needs to be like other shtaros, and that if you're gonna, it can't be something that it's not that makes it possible. Meaning that once you put once you decide to put signatures on it, it needs to be the proper way because it's like a shtar. Then. And then you make it like any other shtar.
So okay, so what you're suggesting is that mezuyif mitocho means that any signature that's invalid, right, would ruin the whole shtar. So let's say Goyim signed on it, and they wrote clearly Goyish names, right? Christopher Mc something or other, I don't know, right? So they wrote clearly non-Jewish names. So that should be Mezuyif Mitocha also.
I mean,
because you're having Eidim that are puzzled, that right? That should also be Mezuyif Mitocha. Problem is, there's going to be a Gemara that says not that way, right? So we're going to have to figure out what exactly is the issue. Is the issue of Mezuyif Mitocha, yeah?
Is that when you have the shtar without the signatures, independently that's good. But once you put signatures on it, the shtar becomes not dependent on the signatures.
Why does it become dependent on the signatures?
Because the signatures are a testimony on what the shtar is.
Yeah, but I have Edim Mesira, so I don't really need the signatures. Right.
Because you might assume that.
But Goyim is also bad thing, right? The Goyim Gemara is going to really get us. It's Gemara later in the Sefer.
You might assume that this lower. You might assume that these signatures. That because of these signatures, these kind of people who know it's not Lishma, like that's good enough.
Take a look at Tosfos. Moder of Lazar b'Mezuyif Mitocha. Tosfos says it explicitly. Tosfos tells you what the problem with Mezuyif Mitocha generally is, in the form of a question. Meaning, once he says it, then he's going to have a problem. Because, again, generally speaking, Mezuyif Mitocha means it's Edim Psulim, it's a Karov, it's a Puzzle, it's someone who's a bad aid. These guys aren't bad Edim, they're just Shalol Lishma. The Chiddush of our Gemara is that Mezuyif Mitocha extends even to a good aid who signed Shalol Lishma. Says Tosfos, you know what the problem with Mezuyif Mitocha is? It's that you're going to see Edim signed on this shtar, and you're going to think you can use those Edim for a different shtar. And you're going to think you can use those Edim even when you don't have Edim Mesira. They can use those Edim for regular Edim. If they're Krovim or Psulim, you can't. It's going to be a big problem. So what's Tosis Kash going to be?
They're Krovim, so then why is it an issue if they're Krovim to this guy?
Yeah, you'll use it on a different shtar for this guy when you don't have Edim Mesira. Ah. So but what's this Kash going to be? How could our Gemara extend the problem of Mezuyif Mitocha the signatures that are Shalol Lishma? The whole problem is that I might use these same Edim as the key Edim in a different case. Okay, so what? They're kosher. You could use them as a key Edim in a different case. That's Tosis Kasha. Says Tosis, Mother of Lazar Mezuyif Mitocho, Temelari, Ma Inyan Shalol Lishma Mezuyif Mitocho, She Chasumim Bo Krovin Opsulim. What does Shalol Lishma have to do with a real Mezuyif Mitocha when you have a Karav or Apostle signed on? Da Hasam Badin Mifsal Mishum Dilmasi the Mismach of Vayulasiya Olahoti Maman Al PM. Over there, it makes sense that it's going to be a problem of Mezuyif Mitocha when it's Karav or Apostle, because you're going to come to rely on them to marry a woman off, to take out, to get money from people based on their testimony. Af Al Pi Shahadavar Emes. Ein lasos elo be'edus kasher. Almost as an aside, Tosfos throws in there, and by the way, even if you're convinced that what they're saying is true, if the Edim are puzzle, you're not allowed to be motzi mamon based on those Edim. Even if what they're saying is true, and you're sure that what they're saying is true. happens to be a rule that a Beis Din is not permitted. It's a good question. Why not? We're going to have to discuss that a little bit. Why wouldn't you be able to be Motzi Mamun? There's, for instance, there's discussion in the Achronim about the following case. What if you have a person who is a Pasula aide, and he knows that he's a ganav or a gambler or whatever, he's a Pasula aide, but he also knows that nobody knows about him. He's a degenerate gambler. He makes all of his money on internet poker, and nobody knows. Everyone thinks that he has a 9-to-5 or whatever, 9-to-5 job, and so Beis Din is not going to know. And he knows Eidos, and he knows what he's saying is the truth. Can he be Meid? If he wants to know, am I allowed to be Meid? Knowing what he's saying is the truth, is that permissible? So that's a major discussion in the Achronim. Crazy place here, Ben Snipeshit says yes. He can be made because he knows the truth, and as long as he knows the truth, he can testify to the truth. It's not his job to apostle himself, even though he knows he's apostle.
He can't apostle himself.
Well, he wouldn't be Neman to say that he's a Rasha, right? True, but he could just not be made. But it's not his job to say, I'm apostle, and therefore I'm not going
to
be made.
The question is, does he have a chiyuv to go give testimony now?
Probably not, because only a kosher aide has a chiyuv to give testimony. So probably not, does not have a chiyuv. The question is whether he's permitted. But there's no question, Tosel says, that if the Beis Din knows somebody's puzzle, but they also happen to know what he's saying is true, that they cannot rely on his testimony to do anything, or on what they know as truth. Al pishnayim edim yakum davar. You need two edim to do anything in Beis Din. So that's Tosel's adding in as an aside, all as part of his question. He has a raya to this idea from a Gemara in Masech Sivamos. I just came across this place this week. Rav Zilberstein in his Sefer on Chumash in Varevna, Chela Gimel, I think it is, raises a question. Had a strange maisa. There's a maisa with a guy, Ben Ishchai, quotes this maisa. There was a guy who couldn't sleep at night one night, and he was very poor. He was hungry, and he was having a difficult time sleeping, so he decided to take a walk. And when he was taking a walk, he walked down the street, and there was a Beis Medrash right there. So he opened up the door to the Beis Medrash, and someone was saying a shir. So he sat down, and he listened to the shir. The shir was a nice drush based on the Gemara in Yuma about how a person is never going to get anything that's not magialo, that he doesn't deserve, that doesn't really belong to him, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will leave everything out in the end, and you think you can cut corners, you can't really cut any corners because HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves everything out. Good, he sits in the shir, and he stays there till well past midnight, and then he walks home, and on his way home, he notices there's a door ajar in one of the houses. There's a door that's slightly open in one of the houses, and he recognizes that it's a house of a very wealthy almana. So he knows the almana lives alone, and the door's open, and he knows that he's poor, he knows that she's rich. So he thinks, you know what? If she's sleeping, and the door's open, maybe I can go in, I'll steal something, and I'll have, I won't go to bed hungry anymore. So he goes into her room and he finds her jewelry and he takes her jewelry. She wakes up while he's in there, but you know what they tell you to do when there's a ganav in your room and you wake up? They tell you to pretend you're sleeping. Don't confront him. If you confront him, I told you that story once. My father, when I was in ninth grade, confronted the ganav and beat him up, but the policeman told my father afterwards, you're crazy. You don't do that. You pretend you're sleeping and you wait till he's done and wait till he leaves. So that's what the woman did. She didn't see who it was. She just kept her eyes closed, pretended that she was sleeping. She was terrified though. Then the guy was walking home and he was thinking to himself, you know what? I just heard a shir about how you're never going to get anything. You can't cut any corners. Like, now I'm going to steal. So he decides he's going to go back into the house and put it back. So he goes back into the house and he puts the jewelry back. The woman, next morning he goes to Shachris. The guy goes to Shachris at the shul, the same Beis Medrash where he was learning, and he sees the woman standing right outside the door of the shul, and she's waiting for the rabbi of the shul. So the rabbi comes and she says to the rabbi, I know, rabbi, you've been telling me for years already that I need to find a shidduch and that you want to set me up, and I've been very resistant to it, but last night I had the most harrowing experience. Someone broke into my house, stole my jewelry, came back, returned my jewelry. I don't know what the heck was going on, but all I know is I don't want to live alone anymore. So find me a shidduch. I'm happy to go out with whoever you want to set me up with. So the rabbi said, well, actually, I just met this nice fellow last night. He was in our basement until after midnight, and he came back for Shachris again this morning. So he's and he's a single guy, so he's a very dedicated fellow. So you should introduce him to this guy. He introduced her to this guy. So the shaila was, does the guy have to tell her that he was the guy? Why does Rav Zilberstein quote in Parshas Bereishis? Because Baruch Hu is mezavik zivugim. The Gemara in Brachos Samach Gimel says, you see from the pasuk in Parshas Bereishis that Hashem is nasa shushvin la'adam arishon. And Hashem was one of the shushvinim of Adam arishon. So sometimes Hashem is a shushvin in a very indirect way that we don't see, and sometimes it's very direct. And in this way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mezavik zivugim. So in answering that question, whether he has to tell, it doesn't have to tell. Rav Zilberstein thought that relates to this crazy place. When you know that you're pasul edus, do you have to tell? Meaning, let justice win. Why do you have to ruin everything? Just because, so he makes that tzushtal. Chora, that's not a tzushtal at all. The two things have nothing to do with each other. One is a din in getting something based on a false premise. Right, you're getting this marriage, you're getting this relationship based on the premise that you're a good guy, and that you're not the guy that robs people in the middle of the night. So, and the other is just an issue of when you know that you're telling the truth. So, a din in edus, a din in beis din, is it your responsibility to make sure you're an eid kasher, or beis din's responsibility to make sure you're an eid kasher? It's a lechora, totally different issue, but it's a good story. So, the Ben Ish Chai has that story. Then Rav Zilberstein says. One more story, because it's a good one. Zilberstein says that his brother-in-law, Chaim Kanievsky, when he told him this Ben Ish Chai, Chaim Kanievsky said, I'll tell you a story about HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Mezavik Zivugim. Unbelievable. Chaim told him that he had a guy come to him asking for an Eitza. A young yeshiva bacher, 21, 22 years old, he was in the Shidduch world, he was dating, and the guy had a terrible scar on his face, a very, very bad scar on his face. And he was having serious trouble. He was a good guy, learning, and whatever. But he was having trouble with shidduchim, because every girl he went out was just fixated on the scar and kept on thinking to herself the whole date, I can't look at that for the rest of my life, you know. And he never got a second date. So Rav Chaim had a very interesting aid. So Rav Chaim told the boy, listen, she's fixating on the scar and it's a mystery to her. So she's thinking of it in terms of her. She's thinking, how am I going to put up with it? Maybe if you contextualize it for her a little bit. So when you go on the date, next date, first thing you do, tell the story about how you got the scar. And instead of her thinking about the scar in terms of herself, she'll think of it in terms of you, in terms of what you went through, and in terms of, and it will be more of a rachmanis and less of a, you know, a selfish, how am I going to live with it? And maybe she'll be able to get past it in that way. So try it. See if you could, if you could explain to her, start at the beginning of the date, where you got the scar, and then maybe she'll be able to look past it. So the guy had nothing to lose. So the next date, he sits down with the girl, and he's, you know this story? You know it already? Darn. No? Okay, Tepper knows, but he's claiming he doesn't because he's too nice. So the boy sits down with the girl and he says, listen, a few years ago I was walking somewhere and there was I saw an Arab chasing a young Jewish girl, and I don't know what he was going to do with her, but probably nothing good. And I ran after the guy and I tackled him. I jumped on the guy and I tackled him so that the girl could get away. And I did. The girl was able to run away. I tackled the guy, but the Arab guy takes out a knife and he slashes me in the face, and then he runs away. So he didn't get the girl. I saved the girl, but I'm left with this scar. And the girl says to him, "For years I've been waiting to find. How am I ever going to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the boy who saved my life in that alley? You know, when I was being chased by a strange man." And this is that. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mezavik zivugim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the shushvin for this fellow. But either way, I don't think it's a good sushtel to the crazy placey. I don't think it's a valid comparison over here. But okay, but the kasha Tosfos asks is a very strong kasha. If we assume that mezuyif mitocho is a psul, in the whole reason mezuyif mitocho is a problem is that you're going to come to rely on it in another context. So great, that's good when you have a karov or a pasul. But when you have someone who didn't sign lishma, so what's the problem of mezuyif mitocho? Tosfos writes, "Avlahach sheidim ksherim el shechas b'shloshma matakala yesh bekachim nismuch aleihem." What's the big deal if we rely on them? So Tosfos. This is the kasha that Tosfos has, and the way the Achronim set it up when they all discuss this kasha is two days. You have Tosfos and you have the Rashba in terms of how to answer this kasha. Just parenthetically, I saw in the Masifta that he quotes from the Briska Rav in Hilchos Gerushin, that from Tosfos you see that Asiyas HaGet Shalol L'Shma, when a get is done Shalol L'Shma, it's not a chisaron in the Hilchos Shtar Shabo, it's a chisaron in Hilchos Get, meaning get, we know, is a shtar first and foremost, it's a shtar, but it also has unique characteristics of being a get, of being a davar sheba erva, something that relates to marriage and divorce, and it's a davar sheba erva. The chisaron of shalol lishma, says the Briska Rav, you see from Tosfos, is a chisaron in dine get, not a chisaron in dine shtar. Because we're not machshir a get that's nechtav and nechtav shalol lishma, but it still has a Torah's Eidos. It's still called full-fledged Eidos that the woman was divorced. So since there's no chisaron in the Hilchos Shtaros, Tosfos says, why is that mezuyif mitocha? Meaning, if it were chisaron in Hilchos Shtaros, okay, so that's why it's mezuyif mitocha. It's a problem in Hilchos Shtaros. It's not a good shtar. Meaning the fact that it wasn't done right means that it's not a good shtar. Elamai, Tosfos must be assuming that it is a good shtar. It's not a good get. But that is only to the mezuyif mitocha. Mezuyif mitocha is din in shtaros. Mezuyif mitocha is not a din in gittin, right? So that's the ha'ara of the Briska Rav. So two approaches. One is Tosos. Let's see Tosos' answer first. So says Tosos at the very end. V'yeshlomar demikal makom ikal migzar chasima atu ksiva dim enos in chasima lishma gazrinan pen lo yichtavu gamak siva lishma. Why is it mezuyif mitocha when you have a chasima shalol lishma? Not because you're going to use those same witnesses on something else and rely on them. That would be fine. These guys are kosher witnesses. But the problem is that if you allow a chasima shalol lishma, you may come to allow a ksiva shalol lishma also. And according to Rabbi Lazar, ksiva must be lishma. Because Rabbi Lazar understands, v'kas of la is going on ksiva. Edim is sirokarti, so v'kas of la goes on ksiva, v'kas of la lishma. So we're afraid that you're going to confuse chasima with ksiva. That's Tosfos' teretz. Now, the Rashba quotes Tosfos a little differently and gives a different answer, b'shem Tosfos, that doesn't really seem to work. But this is what seems to be the true answer that Tosfos gives, meaning the true way to understand Tosfos' teretz. Here's a problem, though. Take a look at the previous Tosfos. The previous Tosfos on the page. When we were still working within the Shita of Rabbi Meir, right? And remember, there are four possibilities of who the author of our Mishnah is that holds you need both Ksiva and Chasima Lishma. Possibility number two was that it was Rabbi Meir. And even though Rabbi Meir Midol Raisa only requires Chasima Lishma, we thought maybe Derabbanan he requires Ksiva Lishma also. So the Gemara rejected that and said, no, Rabbi Meir does not even meet Derabbanan, does not even require Ksiva Lishma. All he requires is Chasima Lishma. Rabbi Meir teaches the words V'kas of La as being about Chasima. Says Tosfos, Vim Tomer, last eight lines of the previous Tosfos. How important is the ksiva saget in Rav Meir's view? It shouldn't be important at all, right? Rav Meir holds the words v'kas of lamin chasima, not ksiva. So are there any requirements about the ksiva saget? Can you just hit print and let that be ksiva saget? Let's say you happen to throw a bunch of ink up in the air and it lands on paper and it has all the right words that you need for a get. Could you then just get people to sign it lishma? Would that be good? So Pashto says, yeah, it's fine. Rav Meir doesn't have any requirements about ksiva. Torah never spoke about ksiva. The Kasav Law is all about chasima. Yet we find, at least according to one daya, that Rabbi Meir holds that ksiva betalush is required l'chadchila. That you can't write a get on a tree when it's still attached to the ground. You need to write a get on that which is detached from the ground. Where do we learn the din that something needs to be tallish from? That something can't be attached to the ground for a get? The same words, v'kasa v'la. V'kasa v'nasa, the pasuk says. You write it and give it. Mishenu m'chusra l'ksiva v'nasina. It has to be something that all that you need to do with it is write it and give it, as opposed to something that's attached to the ground, where you would need to write it, detach it, and then give it. There's an extra step in there, that's why it's no good. But Reb Meir holds Vikasav means signing. Yet Reb Meir holds that L'chadchila, you should do even the writing in the proper way by doing the writing on something which is detached from the ground. So why does Reb Meir think that you could do the writing Shalol Lishma, even L'chadchila, that it's permissible to do the writing Shalol Lishma? That's how the Gemara concludes. Reb Meir holds the Ksiva Shalol Lishma is fine L'chadchila. We're never machmir at all, even on a Drabana level, for Ksiva Shalol Lishma. For Ksiva Lishma. But Betalush, that were machmir l'chadchila. Midaraisa, you don't need any of it. All you need is chasima. So says Tosfos, I'll tell you the difference. Va'omer Rabbeinu Tam. Dilagabi l'shma lo chashino ni maisi get le'edim she'eno kasov l'shma she'yacht mugam heim shalo l'shma. Dikiva diyadi ditzaruch l'shma lo asu l'miti. When it comes to l'shma, we're not worried that if something was written shalo l'shma, that it's also going to be signed shalo l'shma. And why would you be worried about that? Everyone knows you got to sign l'shma. Signing is the ikar get. We're not worried that if someone wrote a get shalol l'shma, that they'll also come to sign it shalol l'shma. Avol b'mechubar, but when it comes to mechubar, ikasav lo b'mechubar zimnin d'mishtali ve'ein niskar l'tlosh v'chasmi. But if you allow them to write a get on mechubar l'karka, sometimes they might forget and they might come to sign a get b'mechubar l'karka also. So that's why Rav Meir was concerned only about mechubar, not concerned about l'shma. But take note of what Tosa said over there. What did he say? That when it comes to l'shma, if we allow writing shalol l'shma, no one is ever going to get confused and allow signing shalol l'shma. Why would one associate one with the other? And then our Tosos, the second Tosos on the page, within the sheet of Reb Lazar, who says that what must be l'shma, the ksiva is what really must be l'shma. So he says, well, the reason why l'chadchila you need chasima l'shma also, and the chasima can't be shalol l'shma, is that if we allow chasima shalol l'shma, people will come to do ksiva shalol l'shma. Isn't this a stir in Tosfos? No? Is it? Oh, so you could just say two different balei Tosfos. But misvara, is there a svara issue over here? Do you have to say that that they're arguing in svara or something? That there's some sort of machlokas here, or is some way to be miyashiv? I mean, the first also says that no one's going to think just because you do a ksiva shalol l'shma that you could do a chasima shalol l'shma within Rav Meir Shita. And the second also says everyone will think that if you do a chasima shalol l'shma that you could do a ksiva shalol l'shma also. Well, will you or will you not be confused? That's within Reb Lazar's Shita, right? That's why it works in the reverse direction. But will you confuse the two for each other, or will you not confuse the two for each other? So you'll tell me, okay, how's our mind starting to work? When I did a ksiva shalol l'shma, it's not so likely that I'll do a chasima shalol l'shma. That I'm not going to mess up. But if I do a chasima shalol l'shma, I'm very likely to mess up a ksiva shalol l'shma. Why? If anything, I would have said the opposite svara. I would have said it works in the opposite direction. Who does signing of a get? Who signs a get? Eidim. What are the qualifications? Do you ever have to have signed a get before? Do you have to have any training in Ebenezer to sign a get? No. You just got to be a person who's a kosher aid. Sign a get. Who writes the get? Sofrim write a get. What do you need to be a sofer? Well, these guys are gemiri. They know Hilchus Gittin, right? What's a more likely concern? That if a get was signed shalol l'shma, I'm going to come to write it shalol l'shma also, or that if a get was written shalol l'shma, you're going to come to sign it shalol l'shma? Which is a more likely concern, given the qualifications of each party? If it was written shalol l'shma, I'll come to sign it shalol l'shma, because to sign it, I could be anybody. But if it was signed shalol l'shma, the sofrim are going to know better. They'll say, no, wait a second, we can't do it. We can't write it shalol l'shma. They're not going to say, oh, just because the eidim signed it shalol l'shma, we're going to write it shalol l'shma. So if anything, Tosfos is backwards. The svara should work in the reverse. Right? Tosfos says in the first Tosfos, within the sheet of Reb Meir, that ksiva is unnecessary. Yeah, it's totally unnecessary for it to be l'shma. No one's going to think. that just because you did a chasima shlo lishma that you could do a chasima shlo lishma. Then the next halacha says, but everyone's going to think if you did a chasima shlo lishma that you could do a chasima shlo lishma. It's backwards. It works in the wrong direction. You hear the kasha? You have knowledge? No, but he's going to be gozeran. Why wouldn't he be gozeran the ksiva to the chasima? I mean, the chasima to the ksiva. I mean, he's going to be gozeran the verse. Whatever Rebbe Lazar says, just flip it for a mayor. Yeah. Rebbe Meir holds chasima needs to be lishma. Rebbe Lazar holds ksiva needs to be lishma. So just like you're going to say in Rebbe Lazar, that we don't want a chasima shalo lishma unless you do ksiva shalo lishma. So say within Rebbe Meir, we don't want a ksiva shalo lishma unless you do a chasima shalo lishma. I think it's a very, very strong kasha. So this kasha's answer is dealt with by several achronim printed in the back of the Gemara. Maram, Marsha, they deal with this kasha. Marsha in Madura Basra. So one approach the Marsha has, that according to Rav Lazar, there's more room for gzeira. Because according to Rav Lazar, the ikar haget, what makes a get happen, according to Rav Lazar? Who are the important edim, according to Rav Lazar, in a get? Eidei Mesira, right? Eidei Mesira Karti. That's Rav Lazar's Shita. The Ikar I get is the Eidei Mesira. Therefore, the Ksiva and Chasima are both secondary. Because the Eidei Mesira are the primary element of the get. Nachon? Now it happens to be that there's a pasuk v'kasav la that teaches us that you need ksiva l'shma midaraisa, but the ikar get is not the ksiva nor the chasima. The ikar get is mesira. According to Rabbi Meir, what's the ikar get? The chasima, right? According to Rabbi Meir, the chasima is the ikar get, and ksiva is very, very secondary. Ksiva is a hechitimtza to get to a chasima. But the ikra I get is the chasima. So he says like this. I thought the marshal was brilliant. If you say like the Rabbi Lazar, if you say like Rabbi Lazar, the ikra I get is mesira. So people are going to make a mistake and think that if a chasima shalol lishma doesn't matter, ksiva shalol lishma won't matter either. Why would they make that mistake? Because they know that according to Rabbi Lazar, neither ksiva nor chasima is all that important. Neither of them are the ikra I get. So they're much more likely to be confused for each other. Because neither of them are critical. Neither of them are what the get is all about. But within the worldview of Rabbi Meir, that chasima is the everything, chasima is the get. So no one's going to think, just because you could do a ksiva shalol lishma, that you could come to do the ikra get shalol lishma, that you can come to do a chasima shalol lishma. I mean, the whole question of this stira in the Tosos is based on the premise that what chasima is to, that what ksiva is to Rabbi Meir, chasima is to Rabbi Eliezer. But that's not true. According to Rabbi Lazar, chasima is much, sorry, it's based on, yeah, that's not entirely true though. Because Rabbi Lazar holds that the entire ikar get is the mesira. According to Rabbi Meir, chasima plays an important role, in that chasima is the get, and therefore ksiva pales in comparison to the chasima. That's the Marsha's approach. So I thought that works very nicely. He has another approach. This is Marsha's second approach. Marsha has two approaches. I didn't really understand the first one so well. Now, let's leave it at that. Let's leave it at the Marsha's approach. Take a look. Maram also has an approach, but let's leave it with the Marsha now, because I want to get to the Rashba here also. Good. So we have Tosos gives answer number one, that even though there's no reason to assume that a chasima shalol lishma is going to cause you to run into any trouble with accepting those edim anywhere else, where it goes there that you might come to do ksiva shalol lishma. out to the chasima shalol lishma.
So having, according to Marshall, having chasima shalol lishma in Elazar, having chasima, that's going to affect the mesira essentially. But how?
Not the mesira. It's going to affect the ksiva. Meaning.
Right, but both of them don't matter.
Well, no. It's not that it doesn't matter. Ksiva. If you had a hierarchy of what matters in Rabbi Lezer's point of view, what matters most is mesira. What matters second most is ksiva. And what matters third most, or really not at all, is chasima. What do I mean by ksiva being in the middle? The Torah says v'kasavla. And Rabbi Lezer reads that pasuk to mean that the ksiva must be l'shma. But I know that that's not the ikar I get. The ikar I get is the mesira. So if you tell me that the chasima could be shalol lishma, which really doesn't matter, and it really can be shalol lishma in Rav Lezer's view, one might think that one level up, that the ksiva could also be shalol lishma. That's wrong, but one might think that. No one would think that you could cut any corners with the mesira, because that's the ikra I get. But someone might think you can cut corners with the ksiva. In Rav Meir's view, mesira doesn't mean anything. There's no edi mesira at all. Ksiva is everything. I'm sorry, chasima is everything. And ksiva is a hechitimtza. Ksiva is much lower. So if you're going to tell me that I could do ksiva shalol lishma, I'm not going to come to think that you could do chasima shalol lishma. Chasima is everything. Why would I assume you could do chasima shalol lishma? The Rashba has a different approach. Again, going back to the original kasha. The original kasha of Tosos was, again, that why is it that shalol lishma is called mezuyif mitocha? The whole problem of mezuyif mitocha in general is that you're going to come to use these edim elsewhere. When it's shalol lishma, it's no problem if you use them elsewhere. They're kosher edim, what would be the big deal if you use them elsewhere? So why is it that it's called mezuyif mitocha? So says the Rashba, that even though chasimas edim shalol lishma makes it mezuyif mitocha. Because according to Rabbi Lazar, the ksiva clearly has to be lishma, right? Now, granted, you don't need edim signed on the shtar, because Rabbi Lazar holds edim asira karti. But when you have edim signed on the shtar, and this is what some of you were referring to before, those edim might become very important. How might they become very important? If you have edim signed on the shtar, the Eidei Chasima could be Mekayim the get. Let's say we can't find the Eidei Mesira, and we need to verify if this woman is divorced. According to Rabbi Lazar, why do we bother signing the get? Mipnei, what does the Gemara say? Mipnei, Tikkun HaOlam. What's the big Tikkun HaOlam? Having Eidim sign on a get? Because Eidei Mesira don't live forever. But, the written word might live for a long time. A lot longer than they'll live. And even if Eidim Mesira do live for a long time, they might travel, they may not always be easy to find. But as long as she has that get with signatures, with a written word, they'll always be able to be mekayim that there was a get. So since their signatures could be machshir the whole get, it becomes included in the ksivas haget. It gets included in the ksivas haget. So in Rabbi Lezer's view, do you need chasimos? No. She could be divorced without chasimos. But since chasimos will matter, when you write them, they can matter, they can make a difference. Memela, it becomes part of the ksiva saget. When you do it, it becomes part of the ksiva saget. And therefore, just like ksiva shalol lishma is no good, chasimos shalol lishma is no good. Because chasimos shalol lishma is a ksiva saget. It's part of the ksiva saget. That's how the Rashba understands. Now, is mezuyef mitochel the best expression to use? Maybe not. Maybe it's not mezuyef mitochel, it's just a psul shalol lishma. That the psul shalol lishma is that it becomes part of the ksiva. It doesn't sound like so meduyek in the words that it becomes mezuyef mitochel, but that's how the Rashba understands the Gemara. It works even better according to the Shitas Harif. Because there is a Shitas Harif, in Daf Pei Vav, later on in the Masechta, that Rabbi Lazar holds Eidei Mesira Karti. Right? What if, according to Rabbi Lazar, you didn't have Eidei Mesira and you just had people sign? Would that be kosher? So most Rishonim say no. Rabbi Lazar, when he says Eidei Mesira Karti, he means it. Eidei Mesira and only Eidei Mesira. But there is a Shitas Harif that holds that when Rabbi Lazar says Eidei Mesira Karti, he means Af Eidei Mesira. that even Eide Mesira can work. But Eide Chasima can work also. Ooh, if that's the case, then not only are Eide Chasima sometimes valuable in the sense that if you can't find the Eide Mesira, you'll be able to prove that there was a get here by being Mekayim Eide Chasima. It's much more than that. The Rashba points out that if you say like the Rif, the Eide Chasima are actually can make the get happen. They can make the divorce. And that's why Reb Elazar is going to be very sensitive about the Lishma of the Eide Chasima. Because you don't need them. Meaning, the Tikkun Olam is that even if you have Eide Mesira, to still do Eide Chasima. Reb Elazar told if you don't have Eide Mesira according to the Rif, you can do Eide Chasima in their place, and then they would be necessary. But even when they're unnecessary, we do it anyway, Tikkun Olam. I don't know better. Let's say equal.
If it's equal, you can't say that because if it's equal, then the lush of Tikkun Olam is like is sure, no.
No. Once I already have Eide Mesira, what's the point of Eide Chasima? Okay, it's only Tikkun Olam.
But if they're shown, it's the same thing. So then it's not that I have Eide Mesira over Eide Chasima. It's that they're the same thing.
Yeah, same thing. Let's say I have Eide Chasima. Would Reb Elazar say there's any point in getting Eide Mesira if you already have Eide Chasima?
No, so then Reb Elazar would be the Eide Mesira card.
Well, it is that meaning he says, I'm masking to you, Rabbi Meir, that Eide Chasima is karti, but I hold also Eide Mesira is karti. That's how the Rif understands. That's the Rif. This is how the Rashba presenting his answer with an extra knach when you use the Rif's opinion. I mean, the Rashba says, even if you assume like the majority of Rishonim that Reb Elazar holds exclusively Eide Mesira, but the Eide Chasima could still matter. And as long as they could still matter on some level to prove that there was a get here, let's say, to be Mekayim the get. So that's why we're going to be sensitive about the Lishma. But especially if you hold like the Rif. Because if you hold like the Rif, then the Eide Chasima don't only matter, they might be the ikker in many cases. Where you forego Eide Mesira and just do Eide Chasima, the Eide Chasima are going to be the ikker. So if you hold like the Rif, then it's really, really strong, the Rashba writes. What about the Gemara and Daf Yud Aleph I referred to before? There's a Gemara that says that if you have Goyim signed on, that's no problem. Because no one's going to come to rely on them. On the guy, and come to use it anywhere else. Right? Come to use those signatures anywhere else because it's a guy. No one's going to think that it's a. Meaning, according to Tosas, that works out very nicely, right? Because Tosas says, what's the whole reason why Lolishma is no good? Is because you might come to do the Ksivish Lolishma also. So if you have a Chasima of Gayim, it doesn't mean you're going to come to do anything, you know, Ksiva Shalolishma. It's got nothing to do with anything. Right, nor will you rely on those Gayim for other Eduyos, because they're Gayim. And it's so obvious to everybody that you cannot rely on them. According to the Rashba, how does it work? That the Chasimos might really matter, so we want to make sure these Chasimos are good when you put them here. So why is it okay to put Chasimos of Gayim there? They might really matter. So what do you want to say? Right. I mean, what you have to say is when Goyim sign Goyish names, and again, it has to be a clearly Goyish name, the Gemara says. When they sign Goyish names, it's like putting a blotch of ink at the bottom of the get. I mean, it's a nothing. It's not even something we pay attention to. So that would be the equivalent of not having anything there. It's like having dirt on the bottom of the get. You just put away. It's just not having anything there. It doesn't. We know it's self understood that it doesn't add anything to the get. Okay, we'll stop there. The Ezra Hashem, I think Rabbi Levin saying Shir tomorrow on Sunday, Vavam and Beis. It's going to be a little more of an agadic sugya. The next couple of sugyas we're going to be doing on Vavam and Beis. Lola Mal Yatil Adam Eimi Yaseiru B'Soch Beiso. That a person has to be peaceful in his home, and the three things you're supposed to say are of Shabbos, Zatim, Raftim, and Likos Ner. And then we're going to move on to music, Bizman Hazeh, all that interesting stuff. I was thinking about doing a Shir Neilu Veilu Divril Kim Chayim also, because that comes up on Vavim Beis, but I don't know. We'll see. Maybe a Thursday Shir or something we'll do one time.
Did you say
we'll
do
what? With? Oh, yeah. Maybe we'll do that Sunday. I don't know, but I'll give you a new Mar Makom Sunday on something. Yeah, that's a good share I want to give, but I can give that any time. That's a share in the Masechta about the different levels of das that are necessary for different types of kinyan. Alright, we'll give that some other time from Rav Shachter and Gina Segos. Alright, if anyone can stick around for Shemin HaLacha, we'll do that.